Hi, welcome to Bagel Tech F1, the F1 show, where we've had a fantastic afternoon watching the Belgian Grand Prix, and it didn't disappoint. We're going to talk through all the news from F1 and everything that happened this afternoon and pick our magic moments, and we've got a new sponsor as well. So joining me, top right-hand corner, I've got Mr. Tony Blunt from Nottingham. Hello, mate.
Hi, mate.
Enjoy your 3 weeks off.
Yes. Could barely hear you there, but yeah.
Below him, we've got Sarah Gray. Hello, Mrs.
Hello. Unlike David Coulthard, I didn't use my 3 weeks to go racing with Tom Cruise.
Oh, hard life, eh?
Yeah, I know.
I've heard you do other things with Tom Cruise, though.
Sorry?
I've heard you do other things with Tom Cruise.
Excuse to me.
Well, I thought it was cinema weekends and things like that.
Ah, well, yeah, normally, yeah. But no, there was
and
a
going down
on
the dog racing at White City. No, he's a big dog racing fan.
Yeah, the only thing I think about for White City is something to do with Loftus Road.
Oh, maybe he goes there as well then. Season ticket holder.
Tom
Cruise
never know.
Is a season ticket holder at QPR. There's a rumour we're starting.
Well, that would be good.
Definitely. Next to Sarah. Dressed like he's one of the barriers from Spa.
Watch out, Lewis Hamilton.
In Spain and under the influence of alcohol. Steve Naper.
Oh, don't make those rumours
official.
True.
Yeah, how you doing, mate? You're on holiday and you're on Wi-Fi that looks like it's dial-up from the house swap that you manage with someone over there.
Yes, I am on holiday with someone then on house swap at the moment, and I have a Spanish flag, I have a Spanish hat, and I watched the F1 in Spanish today.
Oh, super. So
Alonso, lots of that.
I take it that hat and that cape are from the wardrobe of the people that you've taken the house from.
Yes, my hat is my 12-year-old and my flag is some room upstairs as well. I hope they're not watching, but
you've been through their
great
underwear
time. Thank
as
you very
well.
Much for the house, and I'm enjoying the hat and the flag. I don't always walk around in this. I thought I was going to get done up at some point when I walked out of the house after Alonso was taken the position by Button. I feared for my life at some point, but I survived.
Don't worry,
it might have happened if he was for the lead.
Yeah, maybe.
There's probably some Spanish bloke puking up in your pink room right now, so I wouldn't worry.
He's probably watching this live, kind of taking it out of my house, the fact that Alonso didn't finish on the podium compared to...
Well, Alonso looked like he was half a bloody sleep today, God. We've got the news of the last 3 weeks. Well, they all seem to have stood by their word, didn't they? No one really announced anything. No one did anything. They genuinely all looked like they had a holiday, although I don't believe they did.
Yeah, the only real news was about Webber re-signing for Red Bull for next year.
New one-year contract, hasn't he?
I was surprised by that. I was surprised that Webber re-signed. I thought he wasn't... I don't know, but I didn't think he was too happy with
Red Bull. Didn't look a happy bunny afterwards. And the body language was very poor with Vettel. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, he wasn't happy, but where else would he go? He wouldn't have a seat at McLaren. He wouldn't have a seat at Ferrari. So where would he go if he wasn't at Red Bull?
Yeah.
Force India.
Or taking DiResta's place, maybe.
Where real talent shows through.
It's a difficult situation because he may not be too happy where he is, but at least he's in the best car that's on the circuit.
Yeah, exactly. Tony said, you know, he's not going to get a top drive in any other team because apart from possibly Massa, there isn't a space available at a top team at the moment.
No, that's true. And you can't see any of the others that are in the other teams going anywhere.
Well, I can't even see Massa going anywhere, so, you know...
We've also got the dewy-eyed, rose-tinted spectacles news that Schumacher hit 20 years in F1 at Spa as well, and there was a party and there was a special beer he hammered a thing into, and apparently it was well attended. So has Shuey got to be popular now? Do people actually like him?
Well, he seems to be a bit more laid back now. I know they were talking about that today on the coverage and saying that he seems a bit more relaxed, a bit like he was when he first came into F1.
Right.
Yeah, that was one thing that came through. It's like people were remembering, like, the first day he ever drove. It's like, you know, he had his doubts then. You know, that was the whole point of one article I read. It's like, oh, and he's probably got doubts now, I'd imagine. I don't know. Yeah.
What I thought was really interesting was Eddie Jordan talking about when he had the initial conversation with Michael about driving. And he said to him, have you ever been to Spa before? And Michael said, yes. And what he actually meant to us, have you ever raced at Spa? Which he hadn't. No. So when he actually came to put him in the car, he'd never actually raced at that track. And Eddie said if he had actually answered that question as he should do, he would never have been given the seat.
Yeah.
But he didn't answer, yes, I've been to Spa, I bought 2 packs of fags and a packet of crisps.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So that was the only real news. Now, did anyone watch Qualifying 1? Did you get it in Spain, Steve?
No, I couldn't work out the TV to work out the qualifying. No.
Well, there wasn't an awful lot. There wasn't an awful lot that happened, apart from Schumacher lost a wheel and slid off into the wall. And the only thing I thought about that is that's at least the third one that I can recollect of where there's been wheel incidents this year with wheels coming off, and it's not really been that big an issue up until this year. Are they? I mean, is this a danger? Are they trying too hard? Is something wrong with the fittings? You know, do the FIA need to intervene to make sure that there's no danger to drivers and spectators here?
Well, obviously they did originally with the thing about them being tethered. But I remember they were saying during the coverage that Mercedes apparently got a slightly different mechanism with the wheel nut or something.
Yeah, something to do with it being more flush or something to the rim, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about that myself.
But yeah. Button's lost a wheel, hasn't he? There's been at least one other that I can think of, but I can't remember who it was. So it seems to be more of a trend because I don't remember this many wheels coming off last year.
What was your view on the Hamilton incident towards the end of the qualifying?
That was Q2, wasn't it? Maldonado.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so what happens is Lewis passes Maldonado on his hot lap. As far as I understand it, Maldonado was not on a hot lap, so should have yielded.
I thought he was, but
well, he was at least slower. There was no question of that. A long way slower. And Hamilton cut up the inside and cut him off, and then Maldonado comes forward and basically, clearly, just tries to drive into Hamilton. I mean, it was blatant. It looked deliberate the minute it happened. Hamilton wired in and said that it was deliberate. I mean, I've got to say, my thoughts on that were he should have been DQ'd.
Well, the thing is that they'd both crossed the finish line and finished their laps, so they were on their in laps. So it was premeditated, no question about it.
Yeah.
And I tended to agree with what DC had to say about it, and that he was lucky, Maldonado was lucky to be starting the race today.
Yeah, I think he should have been DQ'd. I mean, he got a five-place grid penalty.
Yeah, that wasn't severe enough. I mean, that was premeditated, deliberate attempt. I mean, I know he made some reference to the fact that apparently that's what Lewis did today, which is completely wrong. But I just, you know, that sort of thing needs to be stamped out. And I'm really surprised that the FIA didn't come down a lot harder on him for that. If he's got a problem with Lewis, he needs to actually deal with it off the track, not on the track, because that's just putting himself, Lewis, and spectators and everybody else in danger.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw on Twitter that there was a call for a new hashtag to be created to say something like Hamilton incident, and there could be a shortcut to that type of the amount of incidences that he's in at the moment. I think he's just passionate about winning.
He's
just taken that too far.
He's always been like that.
No, but I mean, I've got to say, there was a tweet out from you today, Tone, that Hamilton was being a bit of a whinger, but he is a little bit. That's to be. I mean, there was no question that Maldonado was wrong there, and Hamilton was in the right. But the way he does it, he comes out as a bit of a girly whiner, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's as far as I was concerned in the qualifying, it was like, yeah, both of them were in the wrong. Probably Maldonado more, but, you know, because I'm sure Hamilton didn't deliberately want to go into him, but it was still something, you know, he was out of line where he was, basically.
Yeah. No, I think I would have said that he was lucky to have been on the track there at that point. I think he should have definitely gone. And I've got to say, I think the stewards were a little bit absent this weekend as well, all round, really.
It was Nigel, wasn't it? Nigel Mansell.
Yeah, he just wants to get back to playing golf. That's the trouble.
Well, if he did, why did he agree to do it?
Quick flight back to Jersey or wherever it is.
Admittedly.
Isle of Man.
Now then, what did you think to the red and yellow barriers? Because I've got to say, when I saw them on the Q1 qualifying, I actually thought they really enhanced the track. It looked bright and shiny and nice, yes, but you could start to see a lot more of the undulations. It kind of brought the track to life. You could see where the bends were coming, and it made it, when you were on board, it made it a more immersive experience. I really like that, and I think I can say thumbs up to Spa. And really, other tracks have got to start thinking about something similar, surely. Anyone?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few other tracks that do try something similar. It's like, Abu Dhabi has all the blue and white markings even off the track, don't they? And things like that. But yeah, this was good for Spa. It did make it, you know, look better. Even to the cameras, it somehow looked better.
Sarah, you were saying?
Sorry, no, I wasn't. I think it's a good idea. I mean, I'm not totally sure it's necessary, but it does add a bit of colour to it, which is good.
Well, I like the way that tracks rise and fall. The one thing I can't stand is places that appear to be level, maybe even if they're not. But, you know, there's a lot of rises and declines in Spa, and it showed them up really, really well on the coverage, particularly things like the side-on view through the chicane and that kind of stuff. It looked really, really good. I liked it.
I think that's my favourite circuit.
It is.
Yeah.
That's my favourite circuit, just because of the uphill, downhill. You can really see the change in camber, the change in height for every
totally changes the dynamics. Well. Totally changes the dynamics of the car as well. The way, you know, imagine you're braking and then all of a sudden you're going over a crest and you're losing traction with the road, so your braking's got to be adjusted accordingly. I really liked it. Q2 then, heavy rain on Q1 that passed over. Q2, there was a bit more rain. There was a lot of suggestions that during Q2 and Q3, a lot of the teams were running out of the intermediate tyres, weren't they?
I was in Spain. I didn't see it.
All right, okay. And the other thing was that Jenson Button, they kept him in the pit, and he never got out again in time for to try and raise his position into the top 10 to get into the Q3 stuff. So he ended up sitting it out.
Well, he did set a time, but obviously he got called in too early before the end of the Q2. That was the problem. But
yeah,
that was the really disappointing thing. Button did a really good race there, and if he would have qualified higher, he would have really been up there to really challenge for a higher position. So it was disappointing his qualifying that it didn't allow him.
He was higher than outside of the Red Bulls, he was highest, though, really. So, you know, how much of that is down to the Red Bull, you know, and Jensen being in the second sort of best car?
Yeah, at the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing on Q3 was that the wetness, I watched a few of the cars and it looked like the Kurs was of absolutely no benefit at all, because when they seemed to apply it, they were oversteering all over the place. It was really giving them problems. I think the only time that they ever really used it was when they were going through the sections with DRS. Apart from that, it looked fairly pointless almost.
Yeah, I don't think it really came into it much today. DRS definitely was, but Kurs
definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, DRS to the point where they were saying, "Oh, the DRS zone should be probably shorter," you know, because that worked in the last race, a shorter DRS zone. But yeah.
I disagree. I mean, I know they did say at the start, but in hindsight, I think it actually made for quite an exciting race. I mean, you got Shuey and Button who actually, you know, ploughed through the field, and it made it a lot more exciting.
Mm. Either way, I think both of those technologies are making this season more interesting, because each driver, even though they know the circuit, they're approaching it with new technology and they're finding out how the car reacts under that new technology. And you can see them literally learning it through the qualifying sessions. How to apply it. It makes it more exciting because they're still on the edge of understanding.
I think that also sort of became evident in the race start. You know, it's like when there's a couple of collisions just going down to the first corner, you know, people going too deep, like Senna. And, you know, that was probably because they were underestimating the car. I mean, Senna, it was his first drive in that Renault as well.
Well, I think that was interesting. I mean, I when I watched the replay back on that turn one, there was 13 cars overshot the turn. So 13 cars drove out onto the... now, last year, that was all gravelled out. So they've tarmacked all of that this year, which would have made an enormous difference to what happened at that first bend. I mean, has the FIA got an issue with turn one? Because, I mean, if they get themselves, you know, a long straight up to turn one, they end up with situations like Melbourne where you got Brundle flipping and that kind of stuff potentially going into the clamour to the first corner. They keep it tight and short. There's no spreading out of the field, so it gets into a real crunch zone. I mean, how do they manage turn one? Because it seems to be that, you know, turn one off the start is becoming an issue.
Yeah, did you see, I saw it on the replay, they actually showed at the start, this is how Rosberg actually got so far up the field. He cut right on the inside of that first bend. Literally, you could not have got any cut it any shorter. That's how he actually managed to get so far up the grid.
Right. I mean,
it's mainly it's disappointing as well because it's mainly affecting the meat of the field. Your Vettels and the first one or two, three, four are good. They're through. You know, they survive generally the first corner. But everything after that is just a bit of a clash, a bit of a banger race.
It was true. I mean, you look at Button's commentary afterwards in the interview, and he was saying that he lost his back wing through that. He also ripped out the front wing, and it removed his front right wing mirror, which nearly hit his head. So, I mean, that was quite a serious issue.
That was pretty scary.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. There was a lack of experience as well. Now, was there any penalties that came out of that turn one? Because I don't think Senna actually got a penalty, did he?
Yes, he did.
It was an amazing start, though. To see Hamilton coming up and Button losing out. I'd love the starts at the moment. They are good.
Mm. Yeah.
Particularly when Webber didn't get off at the line as quickly as he wanted to. They are a good fun start at the moment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now then, so let's get to the starts because good old Mr. Webber damn near managed to stall it once again. He lost six places on the starting grid on the way through to turn one. And in the interview afterwards, he started talking. He said, I think Sebastian had an issue with the engine as well as. And then just as they were coming back to ask him and if it was a mechanical issue that was causing them both a problem, the bloody BBC cuts away to give us the results. Well, we know the frigging result. I want to know whether there's a problem with the Red Bulls because it looks like from that statement that Red Bull has a problem pulling away.
Yeah, certainly. Well, it didn't seem to affect Vettel too badly, but then he never does seem to get any mechanical problems, does he?
No, not at all.
Yeah, but that's like saying, in certain years at Ferrari, Schumacher never had problems. It's like it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I mean, we have also seen that the Red Bull can, it does have problems sometimes. We've definitely seen that. I mean, how many times have they not been able to use Kurs at all?
But there are any, they're talking about Red Bull failures, they're not failures, there are any slight malfunctions of the Kurs. That's the only issue they've had at all this year. I can't remember a single Red Bull failure at all this year. They are manufacturing.
Well, Webber hasn't. Vettel hasn't had one. They said that he hasn't not finished a race. Is it something like 14 races since he had a DNF?
Yeah, no. He's almost like a complete automaton at the moment, isn't he? I made a note actually on lap 9. Lap 11. Vettel phoned in and said he got a blistering front tyre. Well, he'd only changed tyres 5 laps earlier. And on lap 9, he was 9 seconds behind the leaders after a pit stop. So if we're saying a pit stop takes 18 to 20 seconds, let's say 18 just to give them the benefit. Vettel should have dropped 18 seconds on the leaders when he went in. And by lap 9, he was only 9 seconds behind. So he's gained 9 seconds in under 6 laps. I mean, and he doesn't, the thing is as well with that, he doesn't clock the fastest lap in the Grand Prix.
And it's true as well, because when he came out on those new tyres, he was 1.3 seconds quicker than Hamilton on the tyres as well. So when he was on those new tyres, he was absolutely flying.
Yeah,
but they were just fading on him.
I mean,
we didn't see too much of it, but it was after he came out. I noticed when he came out, he was ninth, but he must have been ploughing his way through them despite that.
I mean,
we just didn't really see much of that because the director obviously was following what was going on at the front.
At 1.3 seconds, you're talking about 20 plus clar lengths. And that's an ocean, absolute ocean, isn't it?
Yeah.
Enormous separation between the two. I thought he was superhuman today. I really did. Really, really good. I mean, he just drove like a complete robot.
What, yeah, he did.
Yeah, perfect race preps. Yeah, absolutely. What about the Hamilton crash then? With COVID.
Tell you his fault. The advertisers were happy.
Yeah, no, I put down actually, I bet Alliance were absolutely loving that. Because, I mean, A, the number of times it got shown, but the way that board just exploded, you were sitting looking at Alliance until it suddenly went boom when they did it on the slow motion. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, it was great, that, wasn't it?
And I was sitting there thinking, oh, thank God they made a polystyrene as well.
Yeah, well, that's why they made a polystyrene.
No, really? quick round the table here then. I don't even need to ask you, Tony, because you're a Hamilton hater. So whose fault was it, Kobayashi or Hamilton's?
Interestingly for me, and because I was watching it in Spanish, I don't know what the commentators said in the UK, but for me, it looked like Hamilton turned in too early and Kobayashi was in the way, but Hamilton probably knew he was there.
Well, he was looking the other way, though. You know, if you looked at that footage, the replays, Hamilton would look... He was more bothered with the corner than where the car behind him was. And he actually did an interview on BBC where he said he didn't even know who was behind him.
But what was the commentator view? Was it that Hamilton messed it up and turned in too early?
There was a to and fro. I think Coulthard and Brundle didn't actually make a decision either way. They just weighed up the pros and cons, which is good commentating. Eddie Jordan came down firmly on the side of the fact that it was Hamilton's fault. But when he spoke to Whitmarsh afterwards, he was saying, absolutely not. You know, he's held the racing line. The driver that is passing him or attempting to pass him has not made it even to the midway up his car. Therefore, he should have yielded. And I've got to say, I think he's got a good point there. If you're overtaking and you're not making it past, there's a point where you have to give up that overtake. And Kobayashi was through that point.
Yeah, that's exactly what Niki Lauda said. And that was my thoughts on it too.
But say again, Steve, you just want to hate him because it's Hamilton.
What's Kobayashi versus Hamilton? What's Kobayashi think he's going to do, keep him behind for the whole race?
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
got to be a bit of realistic racing in terms of understanding where your position in the race is versus a faster guy coming through. I think it's probably one for Kobayashi to think about harder than Hamilton.
Well, I'm not sure it was that Kobayashi did anything, because all he did was try and keep his line. Hamilton was moving over. I think even Eddie Jordan said, Hamilton could have kept going straight, and then turned into the corner rather than sort of drifting over.
Why?
Over in Kobayashi's way where he did.
Why? No, hang on. Hamilton's in front. He's more than half a car length in front. Why should he give up the racing line to Kobayashi, who can't make the overtake? He hasn't got the power. He hasn't got the track position.
Well, he would have known the car was there still, and he still moved over on him.
He didn't know the car was there. That was the point. You know, he's turning, he's looking for the turn into the corner. He's following the racing line. Kobayashi hasn't gained track position to perform an overtake. Therefore, he should have yielded. I've got to say, I'm not one, I'll say Lewis Hamilton's a bleater. I agreed with you this morning on that tone. But I think in this instance, and the thing that really got me was that the marshals should have made a decision there as to who was at fault, and they did nothing, which was wrong.
Yeah, that was a bit disappointing. Like, it was no further action. It's like, but then again... What would have happened? It would have been a reprimand, another one for anybody, if anything.
Come on a minute, I think, guys. I mean, that was clearly, I think it was a racing incident, but if there was any fault to apply, then it was definitely Hamilton's, and he's the one that suffered for it.
Yeah, that's probably why there was no further action, because it was him. He's already suffered in a way, because of his own actions.
Does every incident now have to be investigated by the stewards?
If it's avoidable contact, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But what I'm saying is, are we talking about every incident being investigated? There should be some action from the stewards. I disagree. That will take the racing out of F1.
I think no. Where there's contact, there has to be a superficial view as to whether there should be further action or not, or further investigation.
Yeah, what I'm saying, Ewan, is: are we saying that the steward should always come down on the side of one driver or another, i.e., make a decision?
No, I mean, if they see that both are clearly at fault, then they can punish both or neither.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, and I think in this instant, it wasn't 100% clear one way or the other. So no, it would have been a racing incident is correct. And to be fair, in most cases, it should be deemed things should be deemed a racing incident. We didn't have this situation years ago, and there was a lot more racing. Now, if we get to a point where it's virtually get to a point where unless you get someone like Hamilton or whatever over almost afraid to overtake unless they can clearly whiz by without having any contact, we're going to take the fun out of F1.
Yeah. Okay. Fair point.
I wonder who determines whether it goes to the stewards or not.
The stewards.
Or if one of the teams protest, I would imagine.
Is it not Charlie as well? He's probably got a hand in it.
Well, the FIA stewards generally, yeah. He's the race director, so he'll have a hand in it.
Yeah, but I mean, Mansell's also there as a driving advisor, isn't he, to push forward anything that he thinks.
Yeah, I mean, I think the stewards are independent of Charlie, and I don't think he just looks after the race. I don't think he's got time to worry about incidents during the race.
I don't mind if Charlie, the constant person, race per race, decides whether it goes to the stewards or not, as long as it's that constant person. Mm. If it goes to people like Mansell, the people that are individual new to each race, then that's when you have standards changing per race, and that's when you can get a little bit frustrated because things aren't constant race to race.
That's why they appointed the racing driver each race. But you've got the three stewards, and they'll take advice from a racing driver, which is why they appointed it. If you remember, a few years ago, they just had the stewards, and there was decisions that were being made which weren't taking account of a driver, you know, from a driver's point of view. And I think this is why they instigated this way of doing it. I think in general it does work.
Now, what was interesting after that incident was that Hamilton made it back to the pit lane, and then the BBC interviewed him on audio. And one of the phrases he made was that the car was massively slow in this race. I mean, are McLaren really up against it? Because, I mean, if he's describing the car as massively slow, and yet Jensen comes in and takes three, I mean, is that sour grapes, or have they really got a problem?
Didn't look massively slow.
No, I guess. No. But their idea of massively slow.
Although there was one point where he was being told to look after tyres again, wasn't he?
I think
so. That's the only way I can see it having been probably slower than Jensen. But
well, the other thing is I wondered from yesterday whether there was an impact from the Maldonado incident, because obviously the team weren't really allowed to touch the car.
Well, he was driving around with Gaffer Tape on.
And I did wonder whether there might be a downforce issue with Hamilton's car before the race even started.
Mm.
But at the same time, it did make it to P2 in qualifying. So was it that much slower?
No. What I'm saying, Tony, is that I wonder if the issue was caused by the incident with Maldonado from yesterday. Right, obviously, when the car came back after quali yesterday, I know he did really well in Q3, but obviously the race is a lot longer, and obviously problems can come out that may not come out in a couple of laps from quali.
What about Massa then today? Because, I mean, he struck me as having a really weird day. I mean, he wasn't doing any interviews with the media before the start, and then he drove like he got flu. I mean, but having said that, he stuck in the fastest lap of the race up until the third lap from the end on hard compound tyres, from just nowhere. I mean, it was like he was like an out of body experience for him. He was there, he wasn't there.
There was one point in the race I thought I could see Massa winning this.
Yeah, but yeah. Then everyone that overtook him, Weber took him twice with two beautiful overtakes. They're my nominations for the magic moment, and also, you know, when Button took him at the end, another magic moment. It was like he was stood still. He was going backwards. He never challenged hardly at all on the overtakes.
I watched it as well, thinking that Massa's got he's really miffed off in this race, and he's not bothering. But when he put that fastest lap in, I thought it was a case of, right, he's been conserving his energy, he's conserving his fuel. Now he's whooped it up to engine level, top level. I'm just going to prove myself on one, two laps. Just going to go for it just to kind of show that I can do this, even though I know that I'm not going to win the race. He was more so doing it for his own kind of ego rather than to prove anything else.
Yeah, just to make a point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mind you, Ferrari, neither of them were really totally on form today, it seemed. Massa, you know, less so than Alonso, but Alonso had his moments as well.
At the start, Alonso was great.
Oh, yeah. Alonso was all over my TV today.
He would have been. But actually, in terms of, again, he was very much asleep at times.
Mm, exactly.
And again, the overtakes were just... We're just like he was going through the motions. It didn't seem right at all. There was something wrong with
perspective, but he seemed to be, for the first 20 laps, he seemed to be going for it. I thought he was going to win until halfway through the race.
Well, didn't he have he had that radio message through. I think it was Vettel had passed him and then flew off. And they radios out to him say, no, the strategy still exists. We're still fine. You know, hold on to it there. We have an extra set. And what they were saying was that Vettel had lost his extra set of soft tyres and would have to go to intermediates because he hadn't got any intermediates on at that point in the race, whereas Alonso had burned off his intermediates and was ready to go to soft compounds for his remaining changes, so theoretically should have been quicker. I mean, there was a nice bit before the race today where you got Brundle talking about the wear on tyres and what it actually meant in terms of pace. You know, a hard compound with grooves in it was 16 seconds slower than a slick tyre. But they were also saying that the soft compounds were wearing four times faster than the hard compounds as well as.
Hmm.
I mean, there was a big hoo-ha about the setup, wasn't there? Because they're saying that there's 4 degrees of pitch on the front tyres is beyond the specification that Pirelli give them. And most of the people today, apparently, most manufacturers ran beyond that specification. They were running the tyres too hard, according to the Pirelli manufacturer.
That's why we saw the damage to the soft compound tyres.
Is that a problem with Spa, though?
I think it seemed to be mostly a problem for Red Bull.
Yeah.
They were particularly hard on it. I mean, I couldn't believe Adrian Newey complaining about not being able to change those tyres. The FIA completely got it right about saying, you know, I'm sorry, but that's the way your car works. Like, you know, you've got to lump it.
Mm. No, it seems strange. And the Vettel giving the Pirelli rep a good roasting before.
Yeah, that was quite interesting. You couldn't hear the words, but you knew exactly the way what he was saying.
There was a body language there, wasn't
it? Was
there,
the way he was poking him as well. It's like, you know what he's saying.
Right, then, just to close off, I mean, we got a few awards to give out here. I mean, driver of the day, we got Vettel for being an automaton. Weber, I thought, had a very subtle race today. You know, I thought it was a sublime drive. Button, enormous effort coming from 13th up to 3rd. Alonso, not so much. Schumacher, 22-5.
Has got to
be 24-5.
Yeah.
It's got to be a superb.
Yeah, he's my driver of the day.
That's got to be a great design. Is that just because he's dewy-eyed and feeling it again?
No, I think I think when he probably woke up this morning, he probably relished the chance of carving through his way through the field.
Yeah.
Mm. He's done it a few times in the past, hasn't he, as well?
Yeah. You know,
where something's happened in qualifying, he's not been able to finish qualifying, he's been right at the back, and he's still been up there at the end of the race.
So maybe this means he'll be hosting a party for himself before every single Grand Prix. Back into the days of parties before Grand Prix.
That's what it was. Oh. He was still pissed when he got in the car.
I don't think he needed to be.
He's Rolls-Royced it, isn't he? That's the thing.
That's why he's driving with one hand.
I don't know if any of you saw the footage from his car at the start. They showed it on the red button after the race. It was phenomenal, his start. Managed to stay out of trouble. That was, I know we're going to get to it later, but that was my magic moment from today.
Yeah. I mean, there were points as well where he was overtaking people and it was one-handed, basically.
Well, I've just got this vision in me of a Schumacher running down this morning, a bit bleary-eyed and a bit of stubble on, and asking for the chauffeur-driven version, or can I have one that's got fully automatic today, chaps?
Yeah.
With a fag hanging out of his mouth. And,
yeah. giving one of the pit staff 20 quid and saying, get us 20 Benson.
He's had 3 weeks off and he decides to have a party the day before the Grand Prix.
That shows the confidence. But I mean, to be honest, I think you could stick him in an HRT and he'd still do that.
Hormone replacement therapy.
When he was on ITV,
he would have done a wheelbarrow, couldn't
you? And he'd push that round and win.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a class act. You can't take that away from him. Like or loathe him. And
so
I've had my fair share of being annoyed at him.
So Shuey gets driver of the day from Sarah. Driver of the day from you, Steve?
Button. I was very excited by Button. He was doing 1.5 second quicker than the top three or four.
Yeah.
With 15 or so laps to go, 20 laps to go, I thought he was going to win it at one point. Yeah. I love it when he's chasing them and he's tracking them down, and it really shows that the McLaren is not that slow.
Yeah, I mean, more laps, you kind of think it could have been Canada all over again, couldn't it?
Well, I think that's the thing.
There's no way that McLaren is, can be described as slow.
Well,
definitely not.
He's got this thing, that was kind of like almost Schumacher was when he was encroaching on the field. You know, when he starts this march forwards, it's kind of relentless, and he's just waiting for people in front to make mistakes, which is what Vettel did and got rattled. I mean, he really rattled Vettel's cage in Canada. So, yeah, good right. And driver of the day for you, Tone?
I found it hard to decide between Schumacher and Button, but I think overall I would go for Button. For all the reasons we've already talked about.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I got to say, I'm not saying I don't have a definite drive of the day out of this lot, but I was quite impressed with Webber's drive, because it was, despite, his really bad start, but he came back in it. It was very, very subtle, very sublime. He did all the things right. He was very mechanical, and he got himself into a good position back to second place again from having been down as low as 7th, 8th. So I'll say
it was
say
smooth Webber. Like Button's.
It was,
That is one thing, definitely.
I'll say Webber, because I thought he did good, and he resisted at the end pretty well. Vettel, you'd like to pick him, but it's just too robotic for me. There's no excitement with it.
Magic. I mean, Vettel was, I mean, he took his chances and he did everything right today. I'm not a huge fan, but because I think he's a bottler under pressure, but I think today he was awesome. But I'm giving it to Shuey purely because of the way he carved through the field.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good. It was very, very good, it has to be said. Magic moment then for you, Sarah, was Shuey's start, was it?
There was one particular moment in that clip at the start, apart from the fact that he stayed out of trouble, where he seemed to get past four cars in one go at the start. Mm. And that was just amazing.
Yeah, it was good.
And that was particularly of that particular, the whole start was the best bit, definitely.
So for you, Tony?
Probably Rosberg leading at the beginning, actually.
You had a moment of hope. But maybe the underdog can do it. Come on.
It was good to see that.
Yeah, however brief it was. He did well to finish in sixth, so that's not bad at all. And Steve, was yours Alonso?
Alonso, I've got four. Sorry, can I have four?
Go on then.
Right. One was the Spanish commentators who were absolutely Alonso mad. Every time that Alonso was a speck in the distance, there was Alonso, the type of Spanish commentating that you would think it would be. The second was, Button and Hamilton were all over the Spanish adverts here. You watch the coverage had some adverts in, and Button's advertising a watch manufacturer and does a really bad voiceover. If you want to laugh, then Google it and watch it. it's awful. And Hamilton,
it wasn't Santander then.
No, it's not. It's a posh watch manufacturer. And then Hamilton does an advert for, I think it's Vodafone, but black screen, Hamilton's sitting there, slowly focusing in on his face, and the commentator says, or the voiceover says, Dracula, mass murderer, scary people, that type of people. And then Hamilton looks up and says, boo. So obviously in the Spanish eye, Hamilton is a scary person, and they put him over as this big scary person. So that was quite interesting. My other favourite bit was the adverts here are shown on the TV in the normal Grand Prix goes up to the top left-hand side of the corner of the screen. So the Grand Prix continues in the coverage on the top left, and then the adverts are shown in the bottom right-hand corner. So you can continue to watch the Grand Prix while the adverts are shown. I wonder whether Sky would... I don't think Sky would do it, but it was a way of still watching the...
That's a good idea. ITV could have learned a thing or two from that.
Paul in the chat room wants to know if there was a Head and Shoulders ad.
Yeah, well, then what Jensen's done? Is it Jensen's done a? Is it a Razor advert or something that I've seen over here?
No, it's Head and Shoulders, and it's bracing, and he's racing.
It's funny. Yeah.
He likes the little perks,
Steve, because I would have thought that the adverts. If you'd have said to me, Lewis and Jensen advertising over there in Spain, I would have thought that would have put money on that being Santander.
No, not at all.
No, it wasn't.
My magic moment.
Alonso was doing Santander. I think they're connected with Ferrari. But if any of the people in the chat room want to laugh, just have a look at the. I think it's a watch manufacturer with Button. And it's a boo Dracula advert with Hamilton. That's my four.
I had three magic moments that I picked out. One was on lap 9 where Webber took on Alonso. The next one was Webber taking on Alonso and beating him again on lap 37. And then the last one was Button overtaking Alonso through the chicane on 42. And just because I'm a bloody patriot, I'm going to say Button because it was superb. There we go. Good race, I thought, though. Obviously the best of the season. No?
No, Canada. Still Canada. The best.
Yeah, Canada. But this came close, I think.
It was good.
Jolly good. We're moving on to some sponsors because we've got a new one. We're going to talk about Magic of Motoring. Now, Magic of Motoring is a website. It's available at magicofmotoring.com. And they are the only people in the UK who are licensed to produce Shell products, plain and simple, Shell memorabilia. You won't get it anywhere else. And if you can get it anywhere else, it's being done illegally. It's being done outside a license because these guys hold the only thing. It's all vintage stuff. They've got some fantastic apparel. They've got the original F1 jackets that you go back to the 50s, the LM jacket.
And
it looks absolutely stunning. And they've got on the website, it's a head turner. And it really is. It's a pure white jacket with red piping down the side. You get a badge on the front with names and stuff. And it's got the Shell logo emblazoned across the back and down the arm. Oh, and it's 1950s classic 60s racing. You know, you'd see Steve McQueen stood in this thing most definitely. It looks superb. They've also got the original 1950s race overalls.
Wow.
And they've got a set of brown race overalls with the Shell logo on, and they've got the Shell sign on the back of it. And if you had an old Scalectric set in the early 70s, but you'd still got some of the Yardley BRM stuff and all that kind of stuff from the 50s, and the original characters that they used to have in these things, you'll remember this brown suit, but it looks superb. Whether they come in my size or not, I don't know. But the problem I've got, I go to the website, magicmotoring.com, and I've been going through it, and I could have easily spent £1,000 out of my pocket. It looks great. And then, just to top it off, because one of the fetishes I've got is bags. I come back from wherever I go, I come back with a bag. The loft's full of the bloody things. And they've got these beautiful leather attaché cases, leather hold alls, weekender bags, that kind of stuff. And the Shell logo is embossed into the leather. And it looks absolutely stunning. I mean, it's beautiful, beautiful leather work, and it looks gorgeous. Magicamotoring.com. We haven't got a tracking link or anything set up for them yet. We're going to do it at some point. But if you want to go and have a look, please go and have a look. If you buy anything, then when you send your order through, make sure you write on there that you heard it through Bagel Tech and say hello to Mark. He's the guy that owns it. Chap called Mark Carter. Send him a note and say that you heard it through Bagel Tech. And even if you just go and kind of look at the website and really appreciate the stuff, just send him a note to the email address that's there and say, Heard about you on Bagel Tech. Really love what you're doing. Going to keep coming back to the website and looking at it because I think it's gorgeous. Yeah, just something like that so he knows that we've sent you. That would be really, really cool if you could do that.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that, Ewan. I mean, I'm certainly interested in that kind of thing. That's more when I was really interested in F1 from that era.
What, the 1950s? You're not old enough.
Well, yeah,
that,
yeah, the 50s, 60s and 70s are definitely my favourite time for F1.
Yeah, I'm going to have a word with him and see if I've got some nice pictures off him there to show you guys, but I'm going to have a look and see if I can get any of these to show on the video when we do the show live.
So what's the website, Ewan?
It's magicofmotoring.com. Magicofmotoring.com. Just as it sounds, that's it. Go and have a look. There's some stunning stuff there. And the website looks really kind of groovy. It's got that 60s feel to it. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. All the stuff on there. The other thing that he's got that he hasn't got anything on his website to show you, but do you remember when you used to pull up to the garages at, and you'd ting ting and you'd pull up next to the pump and there was a beige pump for the Shell stuff and there was a glass globe on the top?
Dad worked at a garage.
Right.
That had those.
Well, I think he's got those glass globes.
Oh, wow.
You know, opaque white with the red on it, and you can illuminate them as desk lamps and that kind of stuff.
What would be really good is, I don't know if you remember, the next generation of the Shell ones actually had the Shell logo as a moulded, the actual Shell that sat on top of the pumps.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It was a Shell. It's an opaque white Shell that sits on top of the pumps. That's it. That's what he sells. They're all replica stuff. If you can get Shell stuff anywhere else, then please tell Mark about it because he's the only person that's got the license for the UK. Anything that you get anywhere else, it's not been produced under license. This is all genuine Shell approved stuff. So magicofmotoring.com. Please go to the website. Please have a look because all of our sponsors support us. You need to support them. Please do that. If you buy anything, let him know. And even if you just want to appreciate the stuff he's got, please let him know and just say hi. Heard about you through Bagel Tech. Thanks ever so much. Love the site. We'll be coming back. Don't worry.
That's very appropriate because it was the Shell Belgian Grand Prix today. They were the main sponsor.
Yeah, no, you look at the main site and everything. It was really, really good. The other people that we need to talk about is UK2.net because UK2 are the people that keep us afloat. They are the ones that pick up all the bandwidth each month. We have been losing absolutely enormous amounts of bandwidth. 4 terabytes disappeared again last month. Please go to UK2 and support them because they support us. If you go to our website, bageltechnews.com, click on the UK2 logo. There's a tracking link there. We'll make sure that they know that we've sent you, so that's cool. When you get to checkout, please use the offer code BAGELTECH and you'll get 15% off whatever you've bought. So VPS servers, web hosting, co-location services, any of that kind of thing, dedicated servers. If you're transferring your domain in, though, you need a different code. And the reason you need a different code is the fact that they do a DNS management charge that goes on top. But BagelTech listeners don't pay the DNS management charge. So when you go to sign out, after you've transferred your domain over, just type in the offer code BAGELDNS and it will remove the management charge from your bill. Okay, so you won't pay that at all. So BAGELDNS, if you're hosting and moving your hosting over to them, and Bagel Tech, if you want 15% off whatever it is that you've bought. Last thing, the very last thing, is we're up for awards. We've got the European Podcast Awards and all of the main panel shows apart from F1, because it's only new, really. But Max Show, Photo Show, and Big Show, and the Daily News Show are all up for an award. If you go to our site, bageltechnews.com, there's a blue panel there. Click on each of the shows. It's a flash site that you're going to, though, so be careful. When you click on here, if you're on an iOS device, you'll get to our site, no problem, and you'll go through to their site, no problem. But you won't be able to vote because you need flash to fill out the 5 stars that are on their voting system. So iOS-friendly stuff won't go through. The site's not iOS friendly. So click on the logos on our site. That'll take you through. Vote for the shows. Vote as much as you can, please. Get all your friends to vote. Get all the family to vote. And hopefully we'll win a gong this year, which means that we'll be able to stay free and we'll be super sexy and fantastically wealthy. And we'll spread the love back out.
How long is voting for open on that one?
It's November. It closes. So there's plenty of time. End of November.
Excellent.
Right, where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Blunt?
At MightyHorse82 on Twitter.
Good man. Running commentaries of the Grand Prix when they're on.
Yeah.
Sarah.
Sometimes angry ones about Hamilton, but yeah.
Yes, I've seen the expletives. Sarah, where can we get you, Mrs.?
You can get hold of me on my website, which is sarahjaneuk.com, on Twitter at sarahjaneuk, and on other Bagel Tech shows.
Yes, the big show on a Thursday night. Except this week.
Yes.
You'll be in the chat room hurling abuse.
Oh, I'm sure I will, but yes.
Good girl. And last but by no means least, Manuel, where can we get you?
Stevie-o. Clubhead HQ on Twitter. Also at the London Mac user group as well.
And if you're in London and you use a Mac, the Wood Marlowe, the Wood Pub in Marlowe.
I'm suffering with a PC this week, though. I don't know how I'm doing.
Unclean.
Unbelievable.
Don't know how you cope, Sarah.
Never mind. We'll be back again 2 weeks. Yes?
Yes, it's 2 weeks. September.
September with the next Grand Prix. And we'll
give Monza.
Monza. I like Monza. Italy's good. It's good for...
Italia.
Monza's good for bike racing, I think. It's got one of the best tracks for bike racing. But I shall be returning then. We think we're okay for the Sunday night. We may not be, but we'll do it Monday night if not. Have a good couple of weeks and enjoy your racing. Thanks for listening.